Okay, folks, may I have your attention, please? I want to call the meeting to order. Okay, thank you. Call to order. Okay, let's stand for the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Ann, roll call, please.
Director Cecenia?
Here.
Director Storm?
Here.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski? President Wright?
Thank you. Here.
Yeah.
Okay, now the report out of closed session.
Yes, President Wright, members of the board, staff, and audience. The board did go into closed session at 6 p.m. tonight in regards to two separate items under the Brown Act. First, under Government Code Section 54956.9B1, existing litigation, the board heard a report from legal counsel in regards to LOCSD versus Golden State Water, gave direction but took no reportable action. They did not hear a report, in essence, in regards to the bankruptcy. Second, the board went into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. That is a property with real property negotiator, the negotiator being Kathy Kibley, the general manager, and the other party being Thomas Kellaway. This is in regards to 2030 10th Street. The board did give authorization for the general manager to approach the owner in regards to a potential lease of a portion of that building. The vote on that was 3-1 with President Wright and Directors Storm and Tornatsky in favor and Director Cesania opposed. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you. Okay, first item is presentation and the presentation of certificates to Los Osos Middle School student Hannah Haas and Los Osos Middle School art teacher Rachel Meineke for promoting fire safety awareness in Los Osos. Chief Maneras.
Good evening, Mr. President. Members of the board, members of the public, appreciate once again the opportunity to stand before you. This is actually a great time. It's a culmination of several years' worth of work. A couple years ago, I had a crazy idea that we try and fund a project, a community project, through the Fire Safe Council, and we were finally able to capture that project. I'd like to make a couple introductions if I can. I have Robert and Mike Haas. I have a teacher from the middle school here, Rachel Meineke, and I have Hannah Haas. Hannah is quite the little artist, as you can see behind us. This was designed and was painted by Hannah. So how did this all work? We were trying to get some money. We worked with the Fire Safe Council and representing the Fire Safe Council and as well as his former employer, PG&E, is in the back is Tom Wright. They were able to fund this program. We were able to put together a couple different materials for some signs. Went with the school and said, hey, can you please have a contest? And so they did a contest. See who had the best design to try and come up with a fire safe message for Los Osos, and this is what was won. And so Hannah was able to put all this stuff together and come up with this. So we wanted to thank Hannah for her contributions to Los Osos. Mr. President, you want to come up? Or you want to hang out? She's very shy, so she.
Okay. On behalf of Los Osos and Fire Safe Council and the Board of Directors and CAL FIRE, I'd like to present you the Certificate of Appreciation. Thank you. And also, Rachel, if you come up here, please, too, you also get a certificate. We appreciate your hard work also.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
took over the top.
So again, on behalf of Chief Lewin from San Luis Cal Fire, we do really appreciate everything you have done as well as your students, and we look forward to continuing this partnership. You can escape now.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations again. Okay, let's move on to number 8. This is public comment for items not on the agenda, and so there's 3 minutes, and please come to the microphone and state your name. Thank you.
Yes. Excuse me, before you start, we're going to turn. Can we turn the mic here back around so we're not?
Thank you.
Okay, my name is Patrick McGibney. Usually I would start off by thanking you for this opportunity, but I've been driving around all night trying to find where you are. In the paper today that just came out, New Times, you're supposed to be in the community center. This is a community activity. This is not your meeting. This is our meeting as a community. We have a civic right and responsibility to be here. And if you start pulling things like moving around the meetings where we don't know where they are, we're not going to have that right. So please get it together. Let us know where you're meeting, and we will be there. But don't play any of this junk anymore. Thank you.
My name is Keith Weimer, Los Osos. I wanted to echo what Patrick had to say, that this meeting should be in the community center. It's a community activity. You can see there's not really enough room, and I don't have a podium. Okay. I went over the draft basin plan. It makes very few changes to the first draft, which was weak. It doesn't improve any of the seawater intrusion mitigation programs, and it still doesn't commit the parties to saving the basin. The parties now acknowledge that the seawater intrusion will permanently destroy the basin, our only water source, and they estimate it will cost $100 million to replace just Zone D, which is about one-third of the basin. The parties say they want to save the basin so this community doesn't have to spend the $100 million. And it says action should be bold, decisive, and immediate, but the basin plan is mostly rhetoric. There are no serious actions to back these words up. It still recommends against mandatory private well monitoring and mandatory conservation outside the prohibition zone, which the county can implement with an ordinance. It says mandatory conservation for people outside the prohibition zone would be too invasive. So it's okay for people within the prohibition zone to have inspections, but not people outside the prohibition zone. It also recommends against very important outdoor conservation measures, gray water reuse, rainwater catchment, and turf replacement. And it doesn't even mention low water use landscaping. These are measures essential for maintaining yards and gardens with the drought, with outdoor water restrictions, and with elimination of septic systems. A major flaw in the basin plan, this alone would be a fatal flaw, is that the drought isn't even mentioned. One of the worst droughts on record, which could destroy the basin if it continues, yet there is no mention and no contingency plan. Obviously, there is a need for one. You're considering one tonight, but it will only be for half of the community because the basin plan doesn't include one. The rest of the state gets that we're in a drought. The state is monitoring per capita water use. Santa Cruz has 46 gallons per person per day. San Diego, 55, Monterey, 52, and Los Osos has 70 or more. I believe you will vote for a water shortage measure tonight, as you should, which will include restrictions on outdoor water use. So why on earth wouldn't you support a basin plan, or would you support a basin plan, that rejects outdoor conservation? After 40 years of no basin plan, with the basin over-pumped 30 to 45% every year for 35 years, since 1978, I think, about 35 years, the parties give us a basin plan that denies the drought, pretends the basin can support build-out, and basically allows the parties to do as little as possible.
Oh, okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Thank you. My name is Al Bear. I'd like to follow up Mr. Weimer's statement with the fact that the CSD paid for a drainage program. It was a wetlands program, and so you have that in your record. It's paid for, and it will help us conserve water, because what it does, it takes the rain that comes down on the area and collects it into wetlands that are drainage that go across the fall line. So when we do have rain, we can conserve that water. And water is really the number one issue in the world today. And we are in a 100-year drought zone in California. I don't know if you all knew that or not, but that's the geology. So we can expect to have this type of rainfall that we had this year. A 20-inch average rainfall is only 7 inches so far. So we are really, really short of water. This is a can of baking soda. And I learned today from Los Osos Valley Nursery that if you mix that with your soil, it will retain your water an additional 50%.
Baking powder.
What?
Baking powder, not baking soda.
Baking powder. Yeah, okay. Well, baking powder. Thank you for that. So that was one of the issues that I was concerned about was the wetlands. If the staff could take a look and pull that document, it's 43 pages. It's a very interesting document, and it's not that expensive to implement compared to what you're facing with your capital improvement projects. So that would be probably the other thing I want to talk about briefly is closing Diablo Canyon. Studies have shown that we have a higher increase of cancer here in our community and communities close to nuclear power plants. So there is a movement on to close Diablo, and I certainly think that the district should consider supporting a letter, some type of letter supporting the closure of the Diablo nuclear power plant. And that's about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Richard Margetson, at closed session, and again tonight there were some questions about why we're actually here as opposed to the community center. That's what I'd like to talk about. As the vice president of the community center and president of People Helping People, who has an office at the community center, I also am curious why this meeting is being held here tonight. The board of directors of the community center received a letter from your general manager with a number of complaints or issues with the community center having your meetings there. The last line of it, of her letter, reads, "I look forward to your reply and a resolution to the problems. Please feel free to contact me should you have any questions." Our board of directors meets once a month. This was sent to the board of directors. We have not had a chance to go over this letter. We received notice of the change 1 week ago. Now, those of you who've lived in this community for a long time know the importance of that community center to this community. It's the only community center that I know of in the county that's completely and totally funded and maintained by the community through donations, fundraisers, and rentals. For you to make this change without allowing us to respond to this letter, some of these on here are pretty petty, and we do apologize in advance for what happened with the Brownies last month. That was a complete oversight on their part. It had nothing to do with the management or the board of the community center. Their new leader came on the wrong night. They were already started before your meeting ever stopped. But to take revenue or potential revenue, and I've heard through the grapevine that this is the plan to move the meetings from the community center, to take that revenue from a community center owned by the community, a nonprofit, and to give that revenue in the future to a for-profit business as tonight, or a for-profit land or renter in the community is inappropriate. That community center is dear to the people in this community. People have held fundraisers. Can I just finish, Mike?
Quickly. Thank you.
People have held fundraisers in that community for schools, for choirs. People have celebrated weddings in that center, baptisms, anniversaries, birthdays, mourned the death or loss of a loved one. It's inappropriate for this to have happened without allowing the board to respond and see if these issues can be resolved.
Okay.
It's community center, community service district. They kind of go together.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Lindy Owen, Los Osos. We just reported that we just finished getting our operating system software working. We have many changes on our website now. This is the agenda that's on the website. There's no location, no note that it has been changed. If I hadn't talked to somebody that was coming tonight and already knew, I'd be like Patrick, driving all over the place, trying to figure out what happened to the meeting. So I'm just questioning, when are these decisions being made? I believe your manager is coming forward with information, and we have no committee meetings except for every 3 months because we don't have anything to talk about. There's no chance to talk about whether this is appropriate, whether changing our AGP's video is all set up to be live broadcast over at the community center, and tonight it is not being live broadcast. I'm just really upset to see these changes with no discussion at committee about whether the validity of saving money by, I don't know, making a deal with Mr. Golf Course here. I've never seen so many changes and such a failure of public interface with this CSD, except for in the last, 2 years. It just continues to remove the public from being part of our community services district, which, you know, in your mission statement, you invite us to be part of it. I think many of us spend much time trying to help with some of the problems in this community. The website took our addresses off. We got no notices. With all the technology that supposedly we just paid Buco bucks for, I would think that we could have had our addresses put back up. So now if you aren't on the mailing list, you need to sign in and sign up again. I understand there's a discussion by, I guess, I don't know who's discussing this, but obviously probably your manager is deciding that maybe moving the office from the location it is currently in to the old gym as a future location. We're supposed to be tightening our belt. I don't think we have excess money to go looking at bigger palaces to put our offices. In fact, we should be downsizing a little bit. And so I'm going to complain about that, too. I just got my utility bill, my water bill. Absolutely no information about what level 3 is going to be. I have a garden. A lot of people have landscape. Now, if we're going to have to be hiring trucks to bring water in to water our lawns, that warning should have been in the note in the as an
okay.
insert.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment for items not on the agenda. We'll move on to administrative and committee reports. Chief, Fire Department report.
I see the red light now. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to stand or sit before you and give you the January 2015 Chief's Report for Station 15 South Bay. In the month of January, the station responded to a total of 135 calls. 10 of those were simultaneous calls. 6 of those simultaneous calls required advanced life support from the paramedics. There are 100 medical aids out of the 135 incidents, 48 of those requiring advanced life support from the paramedics. A Cal Fire firefighter rode in a total of 3 times with the ambulance to the hospital. There are 3 traffic collisions, 5 incidents reported as fires, and about 30 other incidents within the month. Company 15 came back a total of 19 times to support the full-time staff at Station 15. Also in the month of January, the South Bay Reserves, your employees, completed their annual respiratory protection plan medical evaluations as required by OSHA to be fit tested and wear self-contained breathing apparatuses. They completed signing their 2015 employee contracts. We have, as we've been talking about the last couple of months, been working with some new employees. We've updated the org chart, and it is attached to this chief's note. You can look at that at your leisure. Turning the page, item 8, I want to detail out that Congresswoman Capps, Senator Boxer, and Senator Feinstein have officially endorsed the Station 15 South Bay's Federal Emergency Management Assistance to Firefighters grant application. The letters of their support are in this package as well. I really want to call out thanks to Harmony Brown, my executive assistant, for obtaining those letters of support. That was a big deal. It certainly doesn't guarantee our success, but it adds a lot to it. In the month of January as well, firefighters Nathan Smith and Trevor Oakley resigned from employment. They are 2 brand new firefighters that just entered service. We were actually even able to get them onto the floor. They both received full-time firefighter positions for the county of Santa Barbara. Good guys. One of them works for me in another station. I'm happy to see them proceed with their career. I'm sad to see them go. Training is detailed out in here. There's several good training events. I won't go through them all for you. In the month of January, in item 13, it talks about the new fire engine, Medic Engine 15, went down to Southern California to the emergency vehicle group. There was some routine maintenance that needed to be done, as well as some warranty work, and so that was taken care of. The engine is now back in service at the fire station. During its departure, County Fires brought in Engine 212, and so we maintained coverage. Item 14 details the Estero Bay Community Emergency Response Team meeting and graduation from an initial class. So now in the Estero Bay CERT, for those of you who don't have the board package, we have graduated 151 people in the last several years. Currently, there's 35 active emergency response team members. 2 of them are from Cayucas, 15 from South Bay, and 18 from Morro Bay. Those numbers are fairly typical. I am kind of, I don't want to say sad, but typically over the last couple of years, South Bay, Los Osos has had quite a few more people than Morro Bay, and Morro Bay is catching up. So one of our goals in this year is to increase the Los Osos residents' participation so we can once again have more people than Morro Bay. It's just a private goal of mine. So that's detailed out there. For community, if you're interested in the CERT program, the Community Emergency Response Team program, if you go to EsteroBayCERT.com, all one word, EsteroBayCERT.com, it details what's happening with the group, when they're meeting, and all the different ways you can be involved. Finally, item 16 discusses the board and the presentation that we just did to Hannah Haas. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you now.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Chief. Okay, next will be Utilities Department report. Margaret?
Good evening, President Wright and board. My name is Margaret Faulkner. I'm here to report on the operations of the Utilities Department for January of 2015. The water production was 15.2 million gallons, which is a decrease from last year by approximately 15%. And the majority of the service area, 57%, received bills for 14.3 million gallons of consumption for the period December 10th through February 11th. And this generated $138,344 in revenue. These numbers represent a decrease in consumption by approximately 10% and a very slight increase in the revenue by about 1%. If you look at the bottoms at the table, the first page on the staff note, you'll see that the El Moro reference is one of our wells, and President Wright brought it to my attention today that I really need to be more consistent in this reporting. So I just wanted to let you know that the El Moro well is also the 8th Street well, and 3rd Street well is also called the Bayside well. And we show that in the, if you look at the summary report, it shows both of those names there. But I'll go ahead and change everything on the future reports, so we'll be consistent here. And I apologize if it confused anyone. The utility crews were busy in the month of January, upgrading the service and replacing some water meters and performing fire hydrant maintenance, other than their regularly scheduled duties. And near the end of January, the 8th Street and El Moro well pump died, and this was declared an emergency. And the district was fortunate to find a well driller that was readily available for the job, and it was a quick turnaround. So there's an item on the consent calendar to ratify the emergency spending. Our water conservation, we're still in a drought, and our conservation efforts are continuing with the new Facebook page and the splash page at SaveLososWater.org. And there are some new bumper stickers available and at the district office, and I believe there's some out on the table in the back there. The messages are continue to be displayed around the community for water conservation. And also we encourage people to stop by the office and pick up low-flow fixtures. We've got them for free, and the lobby hours are from 9 to 3. And the county still has their rebate program, and we've got a link to that from our website, too. I was asked to give an update on Palisades, and we just received a proposal yesterday for a new electric panel, and it's still another 2 to 3 weeks out. The update on the South Bay Upper Aquifer well, as you see in the tables attached, the Upper Aquifer well has not been being pumped into the system. The state just authorized us to do that last week. So now it is, and you'll start seeing those tables start being populated. So as far as drainage is concerned, our MS4 permit, I've been working with engineering staff on the second annual reporting compliance items, and this is a very large permit. So we're taking it a little bit at a time. Staff's also attended a couple conference calls with the CASCA, which is the California Stormwater Quality Association. And what we're doing is, for the non-traditional permittees, we're meeting once a month and sharing our resources. So when we report to the state, that all of our reporting will look similar. Also in your agenda, I put some rainfall totals that the crew measures down at the yard, which is at the corner of 8th and El Moro. And as you can see, these are calendar figures. They're just January to December. But we're really hurting right now. The past 3 years, we've only received 24 inches down there. And Bay Ridge, there will be some maintenance required before the county accepts the Bay Ridge and the Vista de Oro subdivisions. So there's an item on the agenda for that also. This concludes my report.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Yes, Margaret, on page 2, there's a reference to crews upgrading and splitting a service for a customer on 11th Street. What is involved in splitting a service?
Splitting a service?
Yeah. What does that mean?
They probably wanted another meter.
Is that the parcel split that happened?
You know, I'm really not sure exactly on that one, so okay. I'll have to get back to you.
Okay. Good.
Yes, what happened is they requested for their multi-use facility that it's several apartments, that they have a meter for each apartment. So that the renter, yes, will be paying, the tenant will be paying the water bill.
Okay, thanks. No new connections.
Thanks. Any other questions?
No, it's not a new one.
Just on average, Margaret, the number of meters that are replaced, what's our...
They're doing about 24 per month.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Next up, General Manager Report.
Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. This month was very busy, as you well know. Several ISJ meetings. This is also the month that we work on the SDRMA, which is our property liability and workers' comp renewal questionnaire, which is quite extensive. And staff and I have spent a lot of time updating it, making sure that it's accurate. The SDRMA notified us there will be no increase in our workers' comp, nor will there be an increase in our property liability. In fact, we're trying to get our questionnaire in on time because we get if we do, we get a $150 credit. And then on top of that, there will be credits from last year, small credits from the workers' comp last year, as well as the property liability. And we will receive those in the next year. In addition to that, we've been working on Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge, and the item for Bay Ridge is on your agenda this evening with regards to the improvements that are necessary in order to transition those septic systems in onto the sewer and transition those particular subdivisions to the county of San Luis Obispo. And finally, two things. One, we're working on the renovation for the corp facilities, and it looks like we've come up with a design that's going to work and that's going to fit into the site that we have and will also be agreeable with the county. And then finally, we've started working on the information for the 15-16 year budget. And with that, it concludes my report.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay, seeing none. Thank you. Okay, LOCAC. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I skip you?
You did.
I'm sorry. No offense.
No problem. Mr. President, members of the board, there was a public comment at the closed session asking why the bankruptcy keeps coming up on our closed session agenda. The bankruptcy plan was approved. We are in the phase of paying off our creditors, and that is why that comes up on our agenda.
Okay. Excuse me. Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Now, LOCAC.
Okay, our last meeting was short and not particularly informative in terms of what was on the agenda because Carrie Brown was necessary for both agenda items and she was out with the flu that has affected so many of us. So that's the bad news. The good news is that Carrie and I have had a meeting this morning and have put together a preliminary, very rough, not for publication or circulation, but you do have copies of that for the schedule for the community plan update and the topics. The kickoff meeting is firmly scheduled for March 28th from 10 to 12 a.m. It will be in the Monarch Grove Elementary Multipurpose Room because the South Bay Community Center was already booked for that day. It'll be a presentation and talking about the context of the community plan update and the processes that will be involved with taking comment. And then the next topic will be the EIR scoping meeting. That may end up being two separate meetings. We're not clear about that yet, but we should be by sometime next week. We're planning that for either April 13th or April 20th. Chapter 2, the community plan framework, is tentatively scheduled for April 27th. Chapter 3 and Chapter 4, Carrie thinks that we can do at the same time, and those are, it's tentatively scheduled for May 18th. Chapter 5 and Chapter 6, June 8th, and the planning area standards, which is Carrie's favorite, she gets all excited about that, for June 22nd. What we're going to have for these meetings on the various sections, they will be totally dedicated to gathering comment, and we'll have two a day, one starting at 3:30 going to approximately 5:30, the second one going from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We've been talking back and forth about how the CSD can be involved, and I have some suggestions, some requests. First of all, of course, attend all the meetings you possibly can and participate. I would like to be able to call on some or all of you to lead small group discussions at the meetings. Carrie thinks that there's some possibility that she can arrange for the kickoff meeting to be videotaped. If not, I might come begging at your door for help with that. And if that's possible, then we would, of course, ask that you put it on Channel 20. And I would also like you to help us with publicity, in addition to putting things on your website and others. I have some ideas for how you might be able to help with that. The other big announcement I have is that Alan Fraser has taken on a new business opportunity, and so he will be leaving his position as an appointed member of LOCAC, which is an opening that does not require a residence in any district. And it's traditionally, we try to find appointed members who represent areas in the community, and I met Alan and talked him into applying for the appointed position when he did at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. So I will be hitting them up for more candidates. So anyone who is a resident of Los Osos can apply for that. The process is applying for it. As chair, I have an interview with the person or persons who are interested. Then their names and brief bios and brief why they would like to be on the council are sent to our supervisor, Mr. Gibson, and he's the one who makes the appointment. Okay. Good. I think I covered it all.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay, seeing none, thank you. Okay, next we have the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the community, as most of you have already heard, our beloved bear on South Bay Boulevard was vandalized. It's been in the papers and television and so forth. I got a message from Celebrate Los Osos today that two citizens have stepped up to fix the bear free of charge. However, the electrical, we're still going to need to pay some electricians to come in and take care of that, and the solar panels, and that's going to be about $500. So Celebrate Los Osos is collecting money. If anybody wants to contribute money to this, you can come by the chamber. We'll take the money and give it to Celebrate Los Osos and hopefully get this thing back on where it belongs. The Chamber of Commerce Business Expo is going to be on Friday, May 15, from 5 to 7 at the South Bay Community Center. That's from 5 to 7 o'clock. And then the last thing is, if take a look at our chamber website when you have a chance. It's LOBP. chamber.org. We just put up a new tourism video that we think is pretty slick, so check that out. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Capslo, Director Cesenia.
I attended the monthly Capslo meeting last week. There was really nothing unusual, nothing of interest specifically to Los Osos. The grant money passed out to different programs, but nothing specifically to this area.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Director, announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Yes, Mr. Tarnowski.
Yeah, on February 4th, I attended a meeting of the Water Resources Advisory Committee. This involved representatives like us from all over the county. Much of the discussion was about the disparity of average rain over history and current rain. And depending upon what part of the county you're looking at, that disparity is half of what it used to be, or it looks awful. Mark Hutchison went over the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which is in the process of being implemented by the state. And the emphasis here is to get a more fine-grained analysis of the relationship between groundwater and what one can do with other remedial approaches. Much of the discussion focused on all the anguish that's happening in Paso Robles. And, in fact, the more recent meeting got deeper and deeper into that. So I'll be back in a month, and I'll tell you.
Okay. Thank you. On the ad hoc appointments, anybody have anything to report? Director Sassenia?
Yes. I met with Julie Vanderweer, Fish and Wildlife Service, yesterday, I think it was, and tried to get an understanding of the Habitat Conservation Plan, just what it includes. I know the county has a community-wide conservation plan that they are putting together for development of undeveloped properties, and there's been an effort or desire to couple that with the community fire protection plan efforts, and the county's been reluctant to include that effort as part of the community-wide HCP, and I'm not really sure why. I haven't talked to the county about that. I got a feeling that they're just not wanting to spread that cost throughout all the lots in the community when the fire protection is necessary up the hill, which I don't quite understand. So anyway, I got the contact people's names and numbers at the county and CAL FIRE, and so I'll start putting the pieces together to see if we can't have one habitat conservation plan for the entire town, okay, or if we're going to have multiple.
Okay, thank you. Any other? Okay, yes?
I need to pull item I.
Well, wait, I'll get to that. Okay, thank you. Okay, now before we go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports, anybody wish to pull something from the consent?
I.
You want to pull you. I? Okay.
Pull. I have a question about F, and I'm not really sure if I need to pull it or not.
Okay.
But it concerned an email that Mr. Storm had received, and myself too. It was kind of addressed to John Eric from AMPI about the prepaid assessment reserve that was going to. And I didn't have a chance to read through the email, and I just didn't know if it was anything important or not. But when it's a previous accountant for the district weighing in, I kind of wanted to know what was going on.
Okay. Thanks. Comment?
Mr. President, I'm going to have our district accountant respond to that because he was given that email and went through it.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Doran.
Go ahead, Mike.
Good evening. My name is Mike Doyle. I'm the district accountant for Los Osos Community Services District. What questions do you have in regard to that, Director Storm? And I know that Director Sassania has not had an opportunity to read it.
No.
What exactly is the question that you have in regards to the email?
Well, I hadn't read through it, so I didn't know if I had. But it seemed like there was a disagreement about the need for that, or just something that she was trying to set a record straight, and I didn't know if it was important or not. It just seemed like it would have been important to vet that, having someone prior in the district's accounting saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not really the way it went. So
what she was referring to in the first email, in the first couple paragraphs of it, was about the bonds that were issued back in 2002. Those bonds she had recorded as deferred revenue. However, in the accounting world, that is not what they are. What they are is it's basically a loan against all of our community's members. So it has to be listed as a liability on our books, not as deferred revenue. That's where we have a disagreement on. She believes it needs to be listed as deferred revenue, and because of that, that's where we have our disagreement.
Okay.
She would be incorrect.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Director Storm, you have anything on that? No? Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we'll pull 11I for separate consideration, so no comments on 11I. And so now we open public comments for items, administrative committee reports, and the consent. Mr. Barrow.
Thank you. My name is not on. Hello. My name is Al Barrow, and I live in Los Osos. And, I thought that the utilities report should have included the cost of the quote for the replacement for the Palisades Well electrical system that was destroyed by, I am told, the PG&E employee. I haven't heard that. I don't know if you all have heard that. I didn't see it in the packet, but I'd like to know what that cost is and how it's, if you can explain how that's going to be shifted back to the people who destroyed it. That would be one thing. The other thing is, as far as water, the city of Capitola is now offering people discounts on stormwater barrels so that they can save water from their roof. And I would ask that you direct your staff to check and see what we can do to help people be encouraged to get stormwater barrels underneath their drainage system of their roof, because that is an excellent way to water your landscape and your garden. It has high nitrogen content in it, and it stores pretty well. Yeah, I have about 200 gallons of water stored in my house, and if we're going to be serious about saving the community's water supply, I don't think we should be giving a whole bunch of will-serve permits, and I think that's coming up here on the agenda. So that's about it for me. I'd like to hear if I could get a response to that question.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I, too, wanted to speak to the Palisades proposal. It seems to me that if you could take the money from the damage and apply it to a new well, that would make more sense. We really do need to stop using that well. I had some questions about the South Bay Nitrate Removal Project. It sounds like it's online. What is our relationship with the brine? How much are we generating? What's our relationship and cost with its disposal and the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District? The district legal counsel at the last meeting was going to give a report about the 7 assessments that were accidentally returned or whatever happened there. And that needs to be explained. And I was waiting for that for tonight and didn't happen. I'm curious about who is actually managing the Facebook page for the district. I know your Bartles and Wells contracted developed it, but I'm curious who actually is the face behind the Facebook page. Then I just for the record, today the Los Osos Wastewater Project put up all the informational material that was at last week's town hall meetings on their website, and a lot of people were unable to get physical handouts. They ran out of paper. So those documents were made available today, and I think they're very important. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos here. I still am waiting to have a report on how well the PR, the $17,000 PR program went, how much money is left. Because the public is requesting it, I would request that it be provided. And like I say, the bumper sticker is interesting, but I'm not sure that it is provocative. And I think we could have done a lot more with some good signage and so forth. We've got little posters sitting out in oddball fences. But so again, I'm requesting that you provide the public a breakdown of where the money went and what we got for it, because I haven't seen much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Thank you, President Wright. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I wanted to just briefly speak to the warrants, which are item 11C. And I'm a member of your finance committee, and so I'm particularly sensitive to the money that's being spent. And I noticed there are seven checks related to water items. And these are to consultants, to engineers, and to attorneys. This is for a period between February 1st and February 28th, so 4 weeks. The amount is $30,000 and in total, in aggregate. And I just want to underscore the fact that this isn't putting a pipe in the ground. It's not working towards actually building a well. Now, some of these expenses may, some portion of it, may be contributing to some of these future projects. But I would like to encourage you to favor pipes over paper. And I think it's imperative that we move forward and beyond the ISJ process and really start to work with Golden State Water Company, which is the other primary purveyor, as you know, and really attempt to move some projects forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Richard Margetson, will 11I be then the last item of the evening, Mike? Does it go to the end?
Yeah. Okay. Number 13, yes.
Okay. You know, I've talked about this lack of transparency lately, not holding as many committee meetings. Another example tonight, not holding this meeting so it can be televised live. You know, there's people at home now that turn in every month on the first Thursday to see the CSD meeting, and they're not seeing it. Another example, since your general manager took office, is this organizational chart that Phil referred to, where he filled in his part of it, made it up to date, used to have a box at the top of it that said, citizens of Los Osos above Los Osos Board of Directors, which indicate that you work for the citizens of Los Osos. And everybody below that works for the citizens of Los Osos. That box was removed from this organizational chart under the new regime. Another indication of the lack of respect for the community, community input, and at every opportunity to eliminate the public from the process. You put it in writing. Board of Directors is more important. By changing that, the Board of Directors is now important, more important than the citizens of Los Osos. Under your utilities report, I don't know if anybody noticed, but January consumption, I think for the first time in the history of the district, was below 10 million gallons for that billing cycle. First time in the history of the district. At the current rate, we're probably going to be under 200 million gallons. Almost half of what consumption was when the district was formed. And seawater intrusions moving in faster than it was at that point, at that time that the district was formed. And you're focusing on new facilities, new office digs, issues with the community center, instead of every waking moment of district staff time trying to save this basin.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker. Okay, seeing none. bring it back for board discussion on any of the items. Any questions? Anything from staff? No? Okay. Get a motion to accept the consent items, except 11I. Get a motion, please.
I'll move to accept the administrative, receive the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda except for item I.
Second, please.
Second.
Yeah. Louder.
I didn't hear.
Second.
Second.
Vote, please.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
Director Cesania?
Yes.
Please.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on now, we'll go to the general action items. And we'll have public comment and public testimony on these items. The first one up is 12A, preparation of Stage 3 water shortage emergency declarations. Madam Manager.
Yes. The item before you tonight is discussion regarding the possibility of declaring a Stage 3 water shortage emergency. And with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Rob Miller, your district engineer.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, staff, and the public. Tonight is really a preview. We decided that it would be wise to come and bring this item before you in March. So if there is any modifications to our approach or to the resolution, that we can do those this month and then bring those back before you in April. So we're not looking for you to adopt a resolution tonight, but simply give us direction if there are any changes or edits so that we can hit the nail on the head in April when the final rainfall totals for this period are in, which of course they appear to be very low. A few clarifications in the staff note. One is that the staff note refers to a Stage 3 water emergency being applicable if 48 inches occur over 3 years. That number should really be 43. And if you would make that note on page one of the staff note, that's consistent with the shortage contingency plan that was previously adopted. It's really 43 inches. Though as you would note from the plan, we are nowhere near that. We'd love to be at 43 inches, but we are at 23. So the numbers, of course, speak for themselves. Also, there was perhaps some need for clarification on the issue of private landscape irrigation. To make that clear, the current prohibition basically allows for the use of non-potable water, which would be, you know, saved shower water, saved rainwater, gray water, those sorts of sources. Those would be allowed under the Stage 3 emergency, but not direct use of potable water. A couple of other issues. As you're discussing this item, of course, you're free to comment on any aspects of the water shortage emergency plan, but there are three that I thought I would just highlight that may deserve discussion tonight or perhaps not. One is how this is rolled out to our customers, and one consideration might be because we have to go through a full billing cycle before people know what their use is. One way that we could implement this is say, well, on April 1st, we're enacting the plan, but the penalties become effective after we've gone through a full billing cycle. So when they get a bill, it will say the plan is in effect. For the next billing cycle, you know, you will be allocated only this amount of water, and then we get that notice before penalties would take effect. So that might be one clarification on rollout that would be important so people aren't surprised by it. Other issues that have come up in previous discussions is lots of community questions about the issue of private irrigation, whether if they remain below their allocation, whether they continue to do some nominal outdoor irrigation as long as they stay under their allocation per person. You may wish to clarify that tonight. And then confirm that the allocation for one- and two-person households will be the same as a three-person household, which is the way your plan is currently worded. So those are three issues that you may want to bring up or address tonight. But staff is certainly available to answer questions or to provide any clarifications to the board. That concludes my report.
Okay, thank you.
And, Mr. President, I do have one suggestion that you might want to consider, and that is a temporary suspension of issuing or considering applications for intent to serve letters. That, if you direct us, I'd like to bring back that at the April meeting with the triggers that would bring that or stop that policy from applying. But it'd just be a temporary suspension until we get certain matters under control.
Okay, thank you. Now, Rob, in regards to the billing cycle, I agree on that. So I'm assuming we're going to have stuffers in the current bills going out the next cycles and with everything clearly laid out to the customer, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And then also in regards to this question about your total allocation going under that and using the remainder for irrigation, I mean, we don't have water police, so it's going to be kind of difficult for us to determine, unless their lawns are extremely green, on that.
Of course, I know some people would want to comply with the letter of the
right.
the law there, and so you could clarify that.
Do we have to state that in the ordinance? That
No, but we could come back when we bring back, if it's the board's intent to allow people to go up to their allocation, we could just reflect that in the resolution that we bring back.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the board?
Yeah, I have a question. Know the answer. What if anything, are the other water purveyors in the basin doing to increase enforcement at this time?
A question that was certainly expected. We know that S&T Mutual appears to be poised to adopt similar regulations when these go into effect. Golden State has also expressed interest in implementing their Rule 14.1 and doing some level of mandatory conservation. Was not able to get them to commit to a specific allocation-based system, but they do have interest in doing something similar, but we're going to have to take the first step. We don't obviously don't have control there, but we did inquire as to how they would step with us.
So what's their trigger for that?
They would have to declare a climate-based triggers are difficult for the PUC. So they're looking to use the position of the saltwater wedge at their Rosina well, perhaps, as one way to trigger it, which they certainly have plenty of evidence to do it if they want to do it, just because that well is so challenged on salt levels now that I think they would have plenty of information to find a water shortage.
And what's the timing on that process? Do you have any idea as far as...
They wouldn't commit to a firm timing, although from previous discussions, and Mike might have more information, it seemed that they can move within a matter of 1 to 2 months, not a year, move fairly rapidly once they had a strong enough case. Though they were clear that it does require PUC approval to do it.
Okay, thank you. Other questions?
I'm kind of puzzled. We seem to have a dual approach going here. On the one hand, we're saying you can't water outside. On the other hand, we're saying each household gets a certain amount of water. Then we start penalizing you if you go over that. But if a person chooses to eliminate indoor water use so they can water outdoors and they're under that budget, are we really going to tell them you can't keep that prize tree alive that was, you know, dedicated to Grandma? It seems like we're speaking out of both sides of our mouth. You can use this much water, but you can't use it in that way. And then again, the inherent unfairness of 1 and 2 person households given the same allocation as a 3 person household. To me, that just seems like they're not going to have to conserve. And I'm just a little bit troubled by that.
Okay. Any other comments? Director Ternowski?
Now, what is the practice that other communities have engaged to get the kind of outcomes when they're under the duress of that we are?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the questions that are raised, mm-hmm. there's got to be some practice out there that people have elsewhere. And I think that would be very useful to sort of, this is what they're doing here and here and here, and maybe give us a little bit more perspective.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. There is, as you
could expect a wide range of practices out there. In fact, as the plan was developed, we considered a number of different community plans. Cambria is one model. They actually allocate down to the person. Everyone starts with one person worth of allocation, and you have to sign a form that indicates the number of people in your household. So they allocate on a per-person basis. There's been other communities that have assigned a certain minimum volume to each household based on more than one person. So there's not a uniform practice. There's a range of practices.
Sure.
Are there data, evidence about what works, how?
There's the evidence is that mandatory water allocations work and work well.
Okay.
Cambria being one example, who reduced their water use by 30 or 40%, I forget the exact number, by going down to a per-person allocation. They certainly do expect that to work.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Yes.
We talk about emergency rates in here. We're not recommending emergency rate increases until now. We're going to observe. But we really haven't established what triggers the need for those emergency rates yet. We're just going to watch revenues and make sure they come in as needed, I guess. We don't really have a trigger. Okay. Okay. There's one other thought that... budget-based and tiered rates. San Juan Capistrano could change the whole world for us. We may be forced to look at budgets, so I think it's something that we better be ready for, because the lower courts already said tiered rates aren't appropriate. It's just something to keep in mind.
Yes, could I make a comment on that?
Go ahead.
What they ruled in Capistrano's, what I understand they ruled that, is they didn't have the information to support their tiered rates, and that's why they ruled against them. So we're trying to make sure that we have all the information before we even implement tiered rates.
And that case was specifically discussed with our rate consultant.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the board before we open it up? Okay, we'll open up to public comment. Please come to the microphone. State your name for the record.
Ibney, for the record. I believe that we are in a situation where we definitely need at least a level 3 severity. And I think you get mostly compliance through the community doing that if you do not have will serve notices going out. I don't think people are going to want to be not watering their gardens, their vegetable gardens, so someone else can build a house and use some water. So if we're all going to save water, we're saving for the survival of our community, not for future development. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Board. My name is Bill Moylan. I live in Los Osos, and I have an article here about Sao Paulo, Brazil. You may be familiar with that already. 20 million people. They're using water once every 3 days there, and they're expecting to run out of water in 60 days. This is in a town of 20 million people. It's going to be mayhem down there come May. And one of the things they say in the article is that because of environmental degradation and political cowardice, millions of people in Sao Paulo are now wondering when the water will run out. Perhaps they could have delayed this by a few years if they had the political courage to make painful decisions a couple of years ago. I don't know. But I'm urging you, board members, to make some painful decisions because we absolutely need them. There's no saying we're going to get more rainwater in the next 10 years or 25 years, and they're expecting a super drought come 2050, 25, 35-year droughts. So I urge you to vote for the Stage 3 Water Shortage Emergency Declaration, and it seems to me that... In my own house, we have nothing in the front yard that we water. There's one little manzanita that we pour a little water on now and then. In the backyard, we have some vegetable garden stuff, but my wife and I, we save our water from our showers and take it out into the backyard and water it. I think that perhaps the best way to get the people in our town to really pay attention to the water issue is to allocate a certain amount per household, just per household member, just like Cambria has done. because, like Mr. Sasania was saying, you know, you can't, if they don't want to take showers for 3 days and they want to water their vegetable garden, I think that should be their prerogative, as long as they have a certain amount that they have to live to. So I hope that the board makes some politically courageous decisions tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, Peggy Pavic, Los Osos. I'm all for saving water and conserving water. However, I don't want to be dictated to, and if I wish to use water in my yard, cut down in the house, as long as I'm within my allocation, that's what I want to do, and I'll conserve under those conditions, but I don't want to be dictated to. Don't tell me where and how to use my water.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Yeah, my name is Alan Barrow, and I am water smart. Studied it a lot. I understand the percolation rate of the Los Osos sand, if that's all you have in your yard, is going to be very, very fast. It's going to be 2 inches per minute. So you put water on it, 5 minutes later you turn your back and it's below 6 inches. So what you really need to instruct people how to do is how to garden or whatever they're doing with soils that hold water. And I tried to explain before and I was corrected that baking powder will conserve 50% of the water. That's a lot. 50% of the water that you put on your garden. And if you want to import vegetables, you're also going to have a footprint, energy footprint, from wherever those vegetables are shipped from. But if you can grow your own vegetables, you're going to have the most nourishing vegetables and the most healthy that you... And it, what we're doing today is we're moving towards sustainable gardening at the home level, because it's going to be becoming more and more expensive to buy vegetables from other places, and if you get the organic ones, they're even more expensive. They're unsprayed. So learning how to garden, learning how to conserve water, I surround all my raised beds, okay? I don't even use the soil. I bring in my own soil, and I plant that, and all that is absorbed in the mushroom compost and the other soils. And also, in addition to that, I have it surrounded by glass, recycled glass, and a windbreak. So you really have to work hard to make the water go farther. But you as a board should be rewarding your population for good behavior with the water. And some of the other speakers said you should use gray water. I use gray water. I use all kinds of water. I don't let the water go down the sink. I take it and put it by a lemon tree. There's all kinds of things you can do, but you really have to learn how to change your behavior patterns.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Keith Weimer, Los Osos. And first I want to thank you for having this reconsideration of this program. As you know, for the last few months, I have been asking that you look at it again. And the main reason is, for me, is that, well, there's two main reasons. One is that it's not fair. If you allocate according to a three-person household, that means a one-person household gets to use three times as much water. And that's not fair. It really wouldn't fly if somebody decided to sue over it. But the other reason is that it's not effective, okay? If a one- and two-person household, and we have more one- and two-person households than any other household, kind of household or type of household, that makes up the greatest amount. So if you're allowing them to use more water, then you're not conserving as effectively as you could. If you allocate, like Cambridge did, 50 gallons per person per day across the board, then we are going to see the savings they had. They pump about the same amount of water as a CSD, about 600 to 700 acre feet per year, and they saved 170 acre feet in about 9 months, and they're on track to save and reduce to 250 acre feet. So, as Rob said, 30% to 40% is what they were on track to save. I disagree with Al a little bit, and people that say there has to be a big behavior change. My wife and I use 43 gallons per person per day. We use this for the last 8 months. We water outdoor. We hand water outdoors. We have another 14 gallons per day to use outdoors if we chose to. So with a county retrofit program, if you fully retrofit your house and you use, you know, especially if you have rainwater catchment or you have gray water, you can do this without a major lifestyle change, and you will help save the basin by reducing water use. If all purveyors did it, we could reduce water use in the urban area by one-third. Now, that could actually do the trick. That could stop seawater intrusion. So I echo what Bill Moylan had to say. It takes a courageous decision on your part, but it's doable. It's doable without pain, but you do have to support strong conservation programs. The county has $5 million. The wastewater permit says they're supposed to spend it on everything, including not just retrofits, but also gray water systems and outdoor systems. They're not doing that right now. And you should support that they do that right now, that they maximize that program to support the people in this community that need to cut back water use to the degree we need to do it to save this basin. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lindy Owen, two things to start with. This is a conversation that began several months ago and has been ongoing at the utilities meetings that have been canceled now because there's apparently nothing important to talk about. So this conversation could have been worked through a little bit further instead of what we're doing right now, and it'll be stages of pain to decide what we end up finally doing. And then again, our advertising that we have 30,000 set aside for conservation, it could have been used towards advertising. This is going to be a shock to our community because, believe me, about 70% of this community has no clue that we're in a water shortage because we don't know how to tell them that. We spend money on outside fancy advertisers from the city of SLO, and we've accomplished nothing, as far as I can tell. On your insert that you have here for your agenda packet, you have a pretty major typo you might want to correct. It says irrigation with rainwater or potable water may continue. So on the first line in there, I would hope that you'd correct that because that is definitely confusing. And then lastly, I want to ask about the private wells. This is, again, with the Sustainable Groundwater Act, I believe that there is going to be enforcement on metering all private wells. And it is known that when a private well is metered, there's probably a 15% automatic reduction in their awareness and their water use. So I would like that to be discussed, too, to be brought in and work with the county. They're looking countywide how they're going to go about it. But that has been severely lacking in getting them to come along. This is a basin. We all share it. And so if they get to ride free and they laugh, they just go, we got all the water we need. That is not equitable, and it is really a failure in your program to limit how much each household gets to use. And I would agree, I like the idea of saying 50 gallons per household and let us use it how we like to. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I found the references to Cambria interesting. While they did reduce the allocation to every home, they did provide non-potable water for those that were willing to go get it. They built a little, almost like a little gas station with a tank, and people could come with their jugs, and they paid 2 cents a gallon in order to pick up non-potable water. They got that non-potable water from a farmer. That farmer's still doing it. Cambria is not doing it any longer. But we have an upper aquifer that we dewatered to the bay. We wasted that water that could have gone on people's irrigation. And a simple dewatering pump could provide that irrigation water should we make a little station where people could come and get it if they chose to keep their landscapes alive. This is the high nitrate water that we're all penalized for in the whole scheme of this mess. So let's be creative, and let's not talk about hitting people with a stick. Let's provide opportunity for them, and I think rather than chasing a new building or using a different facility for your meetings, this is the kind of work that your staff should be doing, is something creative that works for the community, that allows them to, whatever it is. I think the vegetable gardens, it's actually somebody made a point to me today that because costs of water are up, they're having to take from their grocery budget and they're growing their own vegetables at home. But if you take their water away, they can't do that very simple thing. So it is a cycle, and we do need to be more creative, and I think you can do that. I really do.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Richard Margetson. First of all, the 150-gallon threshold, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it over 70% of the households in the water district are one- or two-person households? Wasn't it like 78 or whatever it was, and it went up from there? So four-fifths of your community won't even be impacted by this unless they agree to or, you know, decide to not irrigate outside. There needs to be some tweaking of this. This whole thing should, I'm going to say it again, this should be before the Utilities Committee, before it comes back in April to this board. You have three members on that committee now, and Rob, that know more about this than your entire staff and board. I'm sorry. It's honest. That's what they do for a living. And have gone through these issues. The other thing is, Mike stated that he'd like to come back with the suspension of the intent to serve letters. I'm hoping a board member brings that up and makes that part of the motion. As I have advocated at the committee level and at this microphone, I actually believe we're at stage five now, and I never understood why we ever put any time parameters on moving to stage five. You look at the requirements for climate, we're there. We're there for the last 5 years, and it's not getting any better. And based on county information, if we don't get any more rain and substantial rain in March, we may only be 1 inch over last year. And you remember how bad last year was by the time we got to August, September, around here and around the county. And then I think there's a little inconsistency maybe in the resolution. The staff report talks about maybe waiting a billing cycle or so until you implement this, but the resolution actually says stage two emergency in effect, together with prohibitions, allocations, and penalties contained with, I think that should be within, the adopted water shortage contingency plan. To me, that reads that that would take effect immediately after adoption, after April, whatever, April 1st.
Okay.
It's inconsistent, I think, with the staff report.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Jeff Edwards. Your board is considering a preview of this stage three conservation plan, and I support conservation to the fullest extent. I did want to speak to the suggestion by council that you consider a temporary suspension of intent to serve letters. And I want to be clear for your board and others that the only way development proceeds inside of the prohibition zone, and specifically inside of your district, is if you tear down another property. There is no new development in the true sense being proposed now or in the foreseeable future in your district. Again, the only way somebody can even make an application within your district for an intent to serve is if they tear down another property and have water already. And the new development will be incorporated in the highest efficiency fixtures. So what we have is, in the case of these replacements, the basin will realize a reduction, an overall reduction in water consumption. So the inclusion of language to suspend and your consideration of intent to serve letters where people are asking for replacement dwellings, it's misplaced at best. So I would ask your board to not consider that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Gertrude Storm.
This is basically the same plan that we voted on last year, vetted, and then this is, you know, I mean, this is supposed to take effect according to the ground we've set. This doesn't have a major substantive change in it, right?
That's good.
Okay. And so can you refresh my recollection? Because, you know, people bring up good points about enforcement. I wonder what's more difficult, figuring out, going around asking how many people live in your house or, you know, asking them if that lawn is green because they're using recycled water. I mean, both things, frankly, sound difficult to police. So what's the solution to that?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Well,
based on experience of other communities, it requires a lot less policing to simply establish the number of people in the house. They sign an affidavit, basically, which is what they did in Cambria. you don't have the water police going house to house. To enforce prohibitions on landscaping is more difficult, of course, and that's why staff wanted to make sure the board had one more crack at this before it actually goes to implementation, that if you wanted to clarify that allocation structure tonight, you could do that when we actually come in with the resolution.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I certainly see the value in that. I mean, we're not going into people's backyards. And I wouldn't support the suspension of being able to water edible plants anyway. I mean, I grow a vegetable garden, and I think we're being counterproductive there. I don't know how you get around a budget-based system and without getting heavily into being water police. And I just don't think anybody's ready for that. I think we need to relook at this, but I think the Utility Advisory Committee should be looking at it before the board takes another crack at it. I think that's where our resident experts reside on that committee, and that's why we have committees, so that they can spend time doing that and then bring recommendations to us.
Okay, thanks. Director Ternowski.
I don't think we have the... I'd be inclined to sort of bundle all usage, frankly, and somehow go for a target. I'm not sure. I still don't understand how we could enforce this, except...
Okay, thanks. I think my point is I agree that a per person, you know, a gallon used per person is probably the most efficient way of going.
Yeah.
And I think I want to see this ordinance come back that way. And because otherwise, I mean, it's, you know, if they want to use it for the, like you're saying, they want to use it for the garden, fine. If they don't, you don't. But if it's per person and they are allotted a gap per gallon, you have that that option. And also, I think that I somehow would like to see this tied to something after the next, not this coming April test for the wells, but something in the fall test, if we can have a trigger for that date also, because we very well may be at a 5 at that point. We don't know. I think we are now, and most likely, definitely after the summer, we'll be a 5. So if we can build some kind of trigger in, and that way we know in the fall, after the next water well test, we trigger a 5.
We can do that.
Okay.
That's
my thought.
Sufficiently clear for staff, I believe.
Yes. My recommendation to you would be to look at it again in November of 2015,
okay,
which is after we have done the testing for twice for seawater intrusion.
Now, we need to codify that in the ordinance, though, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And just to clarify, this is a resolution, it's not an ordinance?
Okay.
So.
Well, it's a direction to draft a resolution. We're
right.
Not, just to well, be clear,
right.
We're not...
Yeah.
But the present policy was adopted by resolution, and that's what we're talking
correct.
About.
Correct. Okay. Very good. Okay, so... entertain a motion.
I'll move to direct staff to come back with a what's the term for this? Per person allocation on the drought emergency plan.
And then also the trigger again in the fall. Stage 5 review.
I'll accept that amendment.
Okay. Any other comments on the motion?
I would like to amend it to include the suspension of intent to serve letters until we have a better picture of this basin. I just don't see adding burden to it.
Okay. Will you accept that?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
And what about you, Mr. Chernowski?
I'll support the...
Okay. So do we have a handle on the motion? Oh, we need a second. I'm sorry. Please.
A second.
Okay, we have a second. Okay.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Tornowski?
Yes.
Director Cesena?
No.
President Ryan?
Yes. Okay, in light of that, at this time I'd like to continue 12C until we have a better handle on that, on the intent to serve. So I don't know what we need. We need to formalize that or?
If you want to bring that matter forward to continue it, you can do that. You still have to allow public comment in regards to that item.
Okay. Okay, we'll deal with that when we get to it then. Okay, let's move on to 12B, authorized formal bid process for Bay Ridge Estate for Phase 1 maintenance improvement project, and 2, authorize an interfund loan from Fund 500 to Fund 200. Director or Manager Kibley.
Yes, Mr. President and members of the board. There is an item before you that basically is been prepared by the general manager, by our utility compliance technician, and by the Wallace Group. This item is for the what we've termed the Phase 1 maintenance improvement projects for Bay Ridge Estates. Now, with respect to this, we're going to need to fund it, and also included within this item is an interfund loan agreement that loans the funds to cover this project. The interfund loan agreement would then be covered from the funds that are received from Bay Ridge, and there is sufficient money to cover it. It will take approximately 2 years. With regards to the engineering portion of this, where did Rob go? Rob? With regards to the engineering portion of the Phase 1 project, I'm going to let Rob Miller, Carrie Wagner said Rob Miller would be willing to present the information this evening. So with that, I'll turn the mic over
to
Rob.
You're on, Rob.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Yes, this is a maintenance repair project to correct some of the more severe deficiencies in the existing gravity collection system. And it basically involves the potential replacement of sections of pipe where there are sags and faulty joints in the pipe. So you're looking at a sewer replacement project, in essence. And so one of the things that drove the timing of this is the county's pending pavement overlay project to try to get this done very quickly, get it out to bid, get the work completed before they pave those streets, is what staff was proposing to do. And so as part of the effort here, we prepared a schedule, and we've communicated with the county that they would hold off on doing their project until this work was done. And so this item includes the engineering and what you'll see come back to you is a set of bid documents and then authorization to bid those out and get numbers from contractors on this work.
First,
just some clarification. It seems like the date we had picked for the formal bid, I guess that's bid opening number 3 on page 1 of 2, May 15th, set the date for construction bids May 15th, doesn't jive with either of the dates in the Wallace Group letter. They're pretty close, but I guess that was just probably the compromise that came out of looking at their dates and how that would fit.
That is absolutely correct. And we are asking for authorization, actually, to bid the project along with the development of the bid documents. So that's why it's written the way it is. And in order for us to meet the agenda process and to review the bids, it's necessary for the bids to come in earlier.
And you say it'll only take 2 years for this loan to be repaid from the assessment district?
From the time of transfer to the county.
Okay.
It will take 2 years from that time to repay
the
time of transfer. Yes.
Okay. That's a couple years away still.
Yes, it is.
Okay, because that's tying up our water department money that we could be using for infrastructure projects for 4 years, but we don't have a choice.
That's absolutely correct.
Seems to me.
On the phase two of the project, we're actually going to be borrowing the money.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
I have one question.
On the interfund loan agreement?
Yes.
The rate is West Coast Prime plus one?
That's correct.
Do we figure that? Why is it that rate and not?
Because that's what you did on Vista de Oro. So in order to be consistent with what interfund loan you've already awarded, we use the same language.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? No? Okay, we'll open up to public comment. No public comment? Yes? No?
What are we talking about?
Well, you should be a little more prepared, Mr. Barrow. But
A, B, and C?
Or 12B.
Just 12B, which is the
authorization for the... Okay, thank you. Seeing no public comment, close public comment, bring it back for any other further discussion on the board. No? Okay, very good. Who wants to read the motion, please?
I move that the board adopt Resolution 2015-07 authorizing general manager to initiate formal bid process, release the bid documents, and return to the board on June 4th, 2015 for award of bid to the lowest responsive bidder for the Bay Ridge Estates Phase 1 maintenance improvement projects.
Thank you. A second, please.
Second.
Now we have 2 seconds. Okay. We'll go with Director Turnowski. He was first.
Tie us to the runner.
Whatever.
Okay. Let's have a roll call, please.
Director Sesenia?
Yes.
Director Chernotsky?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
President? Yes. Now we need to do agenda item 12B, too?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Companion to this. Any presentation?
This is the interfund loan documents, which are required under the government code in order for you to loan the funds from one fund to another. And in order for it to be over the period of extend beyond 6 months, these interfund loan documents have to be on file.
Okay. Any discussion on the board? Seeing none. Okay, I'll bring it open to public comment. Seeing none. Oh, I'm sorry. Need to move a little quicker there. Okay, go ahead.
Were residents of Bay Ridge noticed as to this item and the notion that they will be paying past the time that the county takes over the project? Because I think most of the residents up there think they're done when the project goes online, when they're figuring their future monthly budgets and annual budgets. I think it would have been nice for them to. I just want to know if they were noticed.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, let's need a motion, please. They will be notified on this.
Okay. I move that the board adopt resolution number 2015-08, authorizing an interfund loan to fund 200 Bay Ridge to construct phase one maintenance improvement projects.
Get a second?
Second.
Thank you. Vote, please.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Ternansky?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, this is 12C. I'm recommending a continuation, but we'll take public comment on it. So at this time, get a presentation on it.
Yeah.
I think if you do wish to continue it, there'd be a motion and a second to continue. Then you would take public comment on the item.
After that.
Right.
Okay. Can I get a motion to continue this item?
Move that we continue the item until a future agenda.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Vote, please.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Ternansky?
Yes.
Director Storm?
No.
President Wright?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. At this point, we will now take public comment on this item.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and Dr. Novy's the applicant under 12C, and he asked me to make an appearance for him tonight before you and make a brief presentation and answer questions. I have to say I'm puzzled by the continuance motion. I really don't understand what the purpose of that is. This matter is properly before you, and it would be Dr. Novy's request that you do take action on this matter tonight. I will tell you that this particular application is for a replacement dwelling. This is not going to replace any additional demands on the groundwater basin. And the only reason this is coming to you at all is because the dwelling that's being demolished is in the Golden State Water Company area. If it were in your district, we wouldn't even need to have this matter considered. So I can tell you that Dr. Novy has filed the application. He's presented plans to your office, and it's for a three-bedroom, three-bath home on a 17,000-square-foot lot in Baywood Park. The basis of the request stems from a Regional Water Quality Control Board letter dated May 8, 2014, that established 12 transferable units from 2150 Pine. Additionally, Dr. Novy, as the staff report indicates, has secured a Title 19 plumbing retrofit certificate from the County of San Luis Obispo. So as I mentioned, this project is a demolition in combination with a retrofit certificate. So why you would consider be limited at all in issuance of this letter is not clear to me. So perhaps you could explain a little bit about what the purpose of the continuance would be. As I mentioned on 12A, there's no relevance to your establishment of stage 3, 4, or 5 for water conservation, because this is not new development. This is replacement development. Not only that, it's replacement development with a water certificate. Now, the backdrop for all this, as you may know, is, and I will hand this Water Board letter out. And the retrofit certificate. The backdrop, since the Water Board established 12 transferable units, once those are transferred, then the property, the 5-acre parcel at 2150 Pine, is vacant and becomes available for the dog park that has been discussed over the last year. So these transfers are going to all districts, including Sunset Terrace, Golden State, and your district, that is for the 12. So I would ask you to hear this item and do it as soon as possible. And I am available for questions if you have any. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Public comment?
Lindy Owen, I definitely do not want to see new housing built, but I feel there's a fairness factor here. This property was already approved for building 12 units. So at the same time that I see Sage Eco Garden take over an empty lot and put in a complete nursery, and nobody raised any, that wasn't a problem. We're just fine with them not, they didn't have permits to do anything there. They didn't have permits to grade. They didn't get permits to put in a nursery there. Playa Los Osos, the big, giant yellow box on that's as you come into town on your right, that never got looked at by anybody. I don't know which districts those are in. I think they're Golden State. Nonetheless, we're still talking about one basin. If the houses have gotten the correct credits and they did the work, and those were promises that came before we woke up and realized we've been falsely led along to believe there wasn't a problem here, that's our fault. That's whoever was involved here. That's Rob's fault, maybe. But that isn't the person that took their step forward and took a chance to make some investments. So I think it needs to be looked at. I don't know whether, you know, we want to say that, but from what I understand, the houses are completely greenhouses. They're not going to be taking extra water out. They certainly are. I mean, if we retrofit it as carefully as those houses will have to retrofit, we would see water savings by not having as much. But until we get the private wells metered, you know, this is all just, I mean, I don't see any fairness in this situation, and I think that they should get the permits as long as the water measures out that they're not taking any more water than whatever they replace with their retrofits. So I encourage a dog park for the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Yeah, my name is Al Barrow. That's really funny. We need a dog park, but we have 118 acres missing from public parks, period, for people, not for dogs. And people are walking their dogs all over the place and enjoying it, and they don't seem to be having a big problem with that. So I think Lindy is the friends of the people who want to get paid for getting this property approved. And, you know, it's a financial interest here. It's not protecting our basin. And let's look a little bit around us. Last year, half the community was penalized for conserving water, $600,000, half the community, okay? And they have that permit for 3 years. That's Golden State Water. So your negotiations, Rob, with Golden State Water are not saving any water, and they're not trying to. They're trying to sell water as much as they can pump, you know.
So I think it's a little disingenuous to start encouraging developers to apply for WilServe permits and building more and more and more when we have less and less and less. Our water supply is not unique. The whole state is in an emergency drought. The map is colored red. Why would we, because somebody or somebody we like wants to make some money on a WilServe permit, approve that? Is that the kind of people we are, that we just give some people privilege and others not? And the other fact is that the situation has changed dramatically since that property was giving a permit for 12, 11 houses or whatever it was. That situation is no longer the same. So I really believe you're justified in delaying this WilServe permit until the staff can look at our supplies, and as Mrs. Kibble pointed out. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Keith Weimer. I agree with you continuing it. I think it is important to look at how the basin progresses. But at the same time, I have a problem with any WilServe notices at this point. I mean, we're acknowledging that there's a major problem that the community is going to be suffering for. And it just seems to me that when you have some kind of investment that you are speculating on and conditions change and that investment doesn't work out, well, it doesn't work out. I mean, we don't have the water. So that's the bottom line. I think even a level three, stage three, that is enough of an emergency, especially given that we've had 40 years of seawater intrusion due to overdraft, that there should be no WilServe letters, period. I have a real objection with using these water certificates, these certificates that, you know, were done at a certain time when there was the assumption that you could offset water use somewhere else. Let's just put it this way. Bottom line is that new building means more water use. You don't offset somebody else's water use because that other person is supposed to conserve at a level that everybody else is supposed to conserve. If we all conserve, everybody that's here right now conserves as much as they can, we might have a chance of reversing seawater intrusion. If you let somebody else, you know, speculate on a house and come in and they're supposedly offsetting somebody else's water use who hasn't conserved as much as they should, then you're not making the problem any better. You're making it worse. Thanks.
Okay. Next speaker.
Peggy Pavic, Los Osos. It's my understanding it's just one house, right? So I just don't see that there's a problem with the WilServe just with one house, and it's going to be fully retrofitted, so I think it's a good deal. It's a win-win for everybody with the dog park.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay. Seeing no other speakers, we're done with that. Okay, so we'll put that on the next agenda. Okay, now a discussion of pooled... Well, future agenda, excuse me. Yes. Okay. Semantics. Okay. Discussion of pulled consent items. We have 11I was pulled. Adopt 2015 board bylaw rules and decorum amendments. Discussion. Richard Storm.
I pulled this because the bylaw amendments that are in the packet don't match what we voted on according to the minutes at the meeting. The minutes recommend we amend section 9.4 with the staff recommendation, leave 9.1 and 9.2 as is. And there was a phrase added on in consultation with the board, added on to 11. I can't read my writing there. 11B.
Right.
And 12 with trainings. But in the packet, we have some different things, including that it explicitly says there should be no input in discussions from the directors. The other stuff is more or less as directed. My issue with that is I wonder what I'm, you know, am I going to these meetings to be a parliamentarian at $50 a pop, and what's the second director doing there? You know, just going to sit there and be the backup parliamentarian in case the chairperson passes out? So I wanted to have some input on this since it got changed between the last time I was that it was brought up and now. And you know, I think that that's a pretty big. I know some people have said that's supposed to be the role of directors at the committee meetings, but I've experienced that to be different at times, and maybe we should clarify that. But just to sit there and have somebody who's not even chairing the meeting. So I guess another thing we could do is we could not have directors at the committee meetings, and they could appoint their own chair and enforce their own rules of order and make recommendations. But having crash test dummy directors at those meetings just doesn't seem all that exciting to me.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Yes. And you had asked me to have a conversation with Director Ohelski with regards to the item that he put in there within consultation with the board. That was not what Director Ohelski had in mind when he made the statement, and he asked me to include the information in there that the directors are to be at the meeting for the sole purpose of conducting the meeting. So that is why that's there. And that was his request, because that's what he really said he meant to say, and not in consultation with the board. So that's why that item is there.
Okay, well, if that's what he meant to say, then that's why I pulled it, so
yes,
we can discuss it.
That's correct. Absolutely.
I mean, it's different.
I know. I understand that. But I went ahead and corrected it based on his addition to the bylaws.
Okay. We'll let the record show that Director Ohelski has joined us now.
Yes. Just apparently at the right time. I apologize for being late, but I am the president of the San Luis Obispo Downtown Association, so I had a commitment with them this evening. I apologize. So there was really two parts to what you were saying, John Eric, if I understand correctly. There was one that the chair would be appointed in consultation with the board. And then secondly is just what the board, the chair's functions were at the committee. So there's two parts to that, and I did not I guess I misspoke is a good way to put it, because the president really has, other than chairing the meetings, limited responsibilities and duties. So I think it should be up to him to appoint the committee chairs, okay? All I was asking for was that would come back so we would know about it at the board, but not that we would be involved in the decision-making process.
And I actually am glad that you made that clarification. I just wanted to...
Yeah, so I did talk to Ms. Kibley about it, and that was my intent when I did that. It was more trying to clarify what the role of the committee chairman was, that they didn't get involved in the discussions at the committee, but they actually chaired the committee because they were to bring those recommendations back to the board. So I hope that clarifies it.
Then what about the section about shall not provide input into the discussions?
Well, that was, and this is a question, and this is when we, and I know nobody is on the board from that time, but when we restructured the committees a few years ago, the question came up as to what the role is as the committee representative from the board relative to those committees, and it's been unclear since that happened what that role really was. There was an understanding from some of the committee members, including myself, that we were there to chair the committees and not to be involved in substantive discussions, but we were there to chair and to bring back the recommendations from those committees to the board. There was some other chair that felt like it was their responsibility to be involved in the discussions at those committees. So the question really is, how do we clarify that? Because I think we need to have a consistent message to our committees. Either our representative is going to be involved actively in the discussions, or they're merely going to chair the committees and report back to the board. So the purpose of that is to get clarification as to how this board wants to deal with it. So that was the purpose of that.
Okay. Any other board members want to weigh in?
I would have a real hard time being appointed to a committee and not being allowed to ask questions or clarification or bring up points that I thought were important that were being overlooked. I mean, you know, earlier I stated that committee expertise is invaluable to us, and it is, but I think it should be a give and take. And to go and just run the meeting, that's an expensive parliamentarian, and the general manager can do that. So I just don't know why we have, why you would send two board members and not allow input.
Okay, can I respond to that? You do have to take public comment, let me say that. But in answer to that question, it wasn't a matter of being involved in the discussion. The question was, would a board member monopolize the conversation and not get, you know, some people would be intimidated, for lack of a better term. So the question is, the idea was that the board member would be there to chair and be involved, but that the committee members would still be feel free to express their personal opinions. And that's the fine line that we're trying to walk here. So how that gets structured was the intent.
Okay, thanks. Lou?
Yeah. I think the chair of a committee should enable things to happen. And I don't think he or she should be a traffic cop exclusively. That's one of the reasons why I tried to move towards some sort of offline committee activity, ad hoc committee, if you will, to sort of pursue things. And in fact, in that regard, we've been looking for opportunities with the Utilities Advisory Committee and Rob, of potential sources of money to pursue the agenda that committee is all about. And Rob and I met today and talked about 17 potential sources of grants. Now, I couldn't do that if I were restricted to just a traffic cop role in a committee setting that sort of follows the rules and so on. It just doesn't work.
I'm not bringing this up because I feel one way or the other. I just think we need to have consistencies between our committees, because right now we don't, and that's what I think we need to have.
Okay.
I don't know how you would ever define
adequate level of interaction from the board member or overstepping. It's almost like you have to wait till their problem arises and then deal with it. Because otherwise, we're gonna try and wordsmith, and we'll be here all.
Well,
month.
You have to have report cards from the committee
members. That might be what you know.
Type of thing. So, okay,
Mr.
let's.
Mr. President.
Yes.
What you might consider is you might consider appointed for the purpose of conducting the meeting, enabling conversation, and facilitating discussions, because that gives you a broad range to work with them, but yet you're not overpowering them. So that's just a suggestion for your consideration.
No, that's good. Okay, let's open it up to public comment.
I've been coming to these meetings and committee meetings since 1999, and I've seen it operate fairly well. And like Mr. Tanosky says, you could have an ad hoc committee that go out, get information, and under the direction of the committee, and get the information they need, bring it back to the committee, and share it to the committee. That doesn't dominate the committee. The committee then gets to discuss the issue. It's opened up to the committee, and then after they have a discussion, it's opened up to the public, and then it comes back to the committee. And I think that is a really great example of a democratic process functioning very well. So I just think that I don't know if I'm disagreeing or agreeing with you what you're saying, but it just seems to me that it's...
You're entertaining us.
What? Yeah, I mean, yeah. It works. Yeah. And I think, you know, the concern about being dominated by the committee, if the committee chair, which is a board member, you know, is going to be dominated, we should think about kicking them off the committee and getting somebody that's willing to work with us all.
True. Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I think Marshall was actually misunderstood before this was written, because I've attended probably more committee meetings than anybody, and you've never, in the time you've been on the board, ever run your meetings that way. You've always participated on a limited basis in discussion to try to draw out from the committee members what, I mean, you have experts in those committees. I don't even know why we're talking about this. You had an opportunity tonight to appoint or to call a meeting for the Utilities Committee on this emergency ordinance, and it wasn't even part of the motion. Yeah, we need to probably figure this out, but if you're not going to utilize the committees on an important issue like that, what are we doing here? But the committees have always worked best in this community when it's an open back and forth dialogue. I don't know why we're getting all wound up in this. It's always been that thing. The best things that ever happened to this community is when there was intense, open discussion. Leonard, sitting in the back of the room, he used to participate in, because he was concerned and he wanted the committee to vet his ideas and give feedback on the issues that he brought to the committee and had on the agenda. Yeah, maybe his meetings ran a little long, but they were productive. They were productive. And that committee never, ever got everything done that was on the list. But they were productive because of that interaction. Don't stifle the committees. Don't stifle the board. If you want to do ad hoc things on the side, fine. But we're talking about the interaction that happens in those meetings. Don't stifle it in any way. You know, transparency has been fleeting from this community the last year and a half. It needs to come back.
Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Bill Moyon, and I move that the president of the board establish another committee on whether or not the committee members are allowed free speech or a sitting chair has a right to speak. And I move that this motion be closed. I mean, this meeting.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Lindy Owen, I too have attended probably like 8 years of all the different committees. I mostly go to the water utilities because that's my main interest, and sometimes the emergency services, and I think they work beautifully. It's the most comfortable, agreeable setting, and I've never seen anyone really out of control. Sometimes people don't feel like they're listened to enough, but it's not often, and so I think the committees work fine. I don't know, you know, if there was some problem with somebody being, you know, not allowing committee members to participate, or maybe you could put a process in for a complaint system if the committee felt like whoever the chair was not letting them participate the way they needed to participate. But I think it is a pretty free flow information. I will agree, you have you get a lot of really helpful, informed experts that come in and join these committees, and that's why they need to happen once a month. The continuity is really important, and I, you know, Leonard ran a great meeting. He put a lot of his own time into it, and that does take a little bit on its own, but we also did something in those, at least utilities, where we kept a ongoing thing of what we were working on, so we never lost track. Now we don't even get to talk about half of the subjects that were on those lists before because somebody seems to have reduced them off to nothing. So I encourage that we go once a month, and I think they were doing fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, close public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion. Any other points? No? Is you okay with the amendment proposed?
Can you say it again?
Yes. Yes. What I'm proposing to say is that if the committee chairperson and committee vice chairperson are non-voting members appointed for the purpose of conducting the meeting, enabling conversation, and facilitating discussions.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Well, we do need to put in that they would forward recommendations to the board, because that's critical to me.
Okay.
I mean, that to me is their primary job.
And not to be too pedantic, but on 12A, those are fair housing regulations. It's not the actual act. I don't know if that matters.
That's what I had at the time.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to put in the correct act.
Okay. So.
Okay.
I move to make those two changes.
Okay. Does a second?
Second.
Okay.
Actually, should I move to make those changes and then adopt the resolution?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So moved.
So moved. And you second that, Chuck?
Aye.
Okay. Need to vote on that?
Director Storm?
Yes.
Director Cesania?
Yes.
Director Tarnowski?
Grudgingly, yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
President Wright?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. That's okay.
Okay, now we'll go on to adopt 11I as amended. Correct?
No, we just
said that's what he
okay.
Amended his motion to include okay. Those changes and the adoption.
So we're good. Okay. Moving on. Okay, we're now at future agenda items from board members.
Mr. President, I'll be ready to present my Parks and Recreation report next month.
Thank you. Any other future agenda items? No? I'd like to, I don't know if it fit in for next month, but definitely in the very near future, the creek discharge presentation.
Not that. A problem. We're planning on putting on that on next month.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Any other items? Director Cesania? No? Director Tarnowski?
None.
Okay, very good. Okay, now we'll move on to closing board comments. Director Cesania.
It's only going to get more interesting. So let's all remember to stay civil because we're running out of water, and it's really going to get interesting. Thank you.
Director Tarnowski.
I think we accomplished a number of things that can move our agenda forward, and we'll all be in a happier place in 5 years from now. If anything, I'd like us to be more aggressive, move faster, not get involved in long, drawn-out, fruitless discussions, which happens occasionally.
Thank you. Director Storm.
I don't have anything to add to that. I agree.
Okay, very good. Vice President Ohilski.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that part of the meeting, apparently. Then this should have come up in a prior agenda item when we talk about attendance at outside organizations, but I would like to bring just something up to everybody's attention. Along with being on this board, I'm also the president of the California Special Districts Association, San Luis Obispo chapter, and we had our annual meeting last Friday, and I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention on the board and the members of our community that the California Special Districts Association statewide, which is based in Sacramento, is for the first year gave out a Legislator of the Year award, and it was my privilege to be involved in giving that award out. But it was given to Kacho Asajian as the first Legislator of the Year for his, tireless work in making sure the local communities and the local government is represented in Sacramento. So I just wanted to acknowledge that Kacho did get that award, and that's it.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, with that, I think we'll – I'm sorry. Oh. Two announcements. Okay, we do have Los Osos Advisory Committee applications for alternate members to serve on the Emergency Services Committee and the Financial Advisory Committee. Applications are available on the district's website and at the district office. And then we also have Cleanup Week, April 13th through the 17th. And this will be posted on our website also for more information. And so it's April 13th through 17th. It's a good time to get rid of your extra crud out there. And just keep in mind, kind of going along with Director Cesena is keeping it civil, is that we don't want to have Mark Twain's words come to fruition, that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. So with that, we'll conclude this meeting. Good night. Thank you.